in the sight of the Lord. God sees us, and God knows us as we are, and God loves us. We need to be mindful of both our strengths and our weaknesses. For whoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That same verse in the Living Bible said, "For everyone who tries to honor himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be honored." This parable of the wedding feast is partly a warning, partly a teaching, and partly a promise. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." Clint Eastwood's character Dirty Harry in Magnum Force expressed that a man's got to know his limitations. We do not need to believe those who preach the total depravity and complete moral bankruptcy of humanity, but we do need to be cognizant of our frailties. The parable is partly a teaching. The Apostle James wrote, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Christian humbleness is more about how God views us than how we are viewed by others. God views us as good. We have been created in the image of God. We have been created as companions of our Creator. From Genesis to Revelation, God wants to be in fellowship with us. More than that, we, like Abraham, were created to be friends with God, as Jesus assures us in John 15:15, "I call you my friends." Yet, we are in need of redemption, and thankfully, redeemable. God continues to send the rain on the just and the unjust. God sent Jesus to be our Savior, not just our Savior, but the Savior of the whole world, as we frequently affirm in John 3:16 and 17. God sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. Seeing ourselves clearly and accurately is an important part of love. The love that is being perfected in us, as Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13. In the Good News Translation, what we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. James went on in his letter to instruct, "Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Borrowing a phrase we hear a lot on the news lately, settled precedent says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we're not feeding the gospel mill, and we're certainly not confessing each other's sins. And we don't need to hear all the juicy details from each other, but we do need to share in a general realization and confession that, as the saying goes, the ground is level at the foot of the cross, where we all stand in need of healing and salvation in all its forms. The parable is partly a promise, an amazingly great eternal promise. Perhaps the most profound imagery of what Jesus was promising in this passage is found in Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he proposes that we do what Jesus did. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Peter Schultz wrote in his song, "And we'll guard each other's dignity and save each other's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." We are encouraged to maintain a right relationship with each other. In Proverbs 25:7 in the King James, it said, "For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldst be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen." And in the Message, it's phrased this way, "It's better to be promoted to a place of honor than face humiliation by being demoted." This same principle Solomon highlighted in Proverbs is what Jesus was talking about in the Gospel of Luke. Paul reminds us in Romans not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We don't need to think more lowly of ourselves either. We need to examine ourselves honestly in the presence of God and discover more about who we really are, so we can know what improvements we need to make in how we relate to God and our fellow creatures. Jesus told a parable of a man who returned home justified after praying humbly to God, as opposed to another who missed that reward because he only prayed self-righteously about how wonderful he was in comparison. There, Jesus repeated what he had said earlier in today's lectionary reading, "For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." It's best if we can see each other equally. But if we're unable to do that, Paul urges us in his letter to the Philippians, "In lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves." Paul reminds us in his letter to the Corinthians that not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Jesus was concerned most about how we treat each other. In Psalm 112, verse 4, it says, "Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." In the Good News Translation, translates that verse, "Light shines in the darkness for good people, for those who are merciful, kind, and just." This promise of a guiding light is universal, regardless of where a person is in their spiritual journey, or relationship with God, or what path they have taken to where they have so far arrived. Some would argue this only applies to those who have met some religious prerequisites as specified by their particular sect. The example of Jesus demonstrates the opposite. Those who were good people in the sight of Jesus, we're often viewed as bad people in the sight of those who considered themselves to be the most religious and righteous. These will go into the kingdom of God before you, Jesus told the Pharisees. Not instead, but before. In Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations is based on how they treated the most vulnerable among their populations. Inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. After a scathing rebuke of much of what we do in church, in an oracle that has been phrased in a variety of pointed ways throughout the centuries, the prophet Amos preached, "But let justice roll down like water, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." We are invited to cultivate an attitude of mercy, not sacrifice. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. That same verse in our reading today from Hebrews in the Good News Translation reads, "Do not forget to do good and help one another, because these are the sacrifices that please God." When Jesus was criticized for including forgiveness and healing and for eating with sinners, he referenced the oracle delivered by the prophet Hosea and said, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Historically, superstitious humanity seems to always have felt a need to appease an imaginary, tyrannical, cosmic deity with all manner of sacrifices. Even though modern humanity mostly rejects blood sacrifices, we still have that compulsion to think of service to God and each other as the sacrifices of wretched creatures, such as Jonathan Edwards imagined in his sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." But if we think of justice and kindness as love offerings to the God who loves us unconditionally, from eternity to eternity, the drudgery of appeasement is transformed into the joy of salvation and healing. We've been studying the prophet Micah in our Wednesday evening Bible study, and the tone of the book is largely gloom and doom. Micah's contemporaries chastised him for prophesying against them, especially in such vivid and foreboding terms. But this week's chapter includes the famous verse that stands out right in the middle of all the intense tragedy being described. It is the verse that clearly summarizes what God expects of humanity. The verse is preceded by asking what kind of sacrifices we could make that would be pleasing to God. Would it be burnt offerings, or calves, or rams? Would it be 10,000 rivers of oil? What if we sacrificed our children? These are the kind of things people used to think they had to do to please God. Perhaps many have replaced those gruesome ancient sacrifices with more palatable modern counterparts. But Micah proclaims in the Good News Translation, "No. The Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this, to do what is just, to show constant love. And to live in humble fellowship with God. In the name of Jesus.